Scripture reading for tonight comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, and the Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, and John 15, 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20 says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." John chapter 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." And lastly, John 15. "I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing."
Good evening, everyone. I have the pleasure this evening to invite to our space and to introduce you all to my friend Joetta Schlaba. Joetta has been with us before, but is... is here tonight to share with us a message again. Joetta is formerly served Faith Mennonite Church here in the Twin Cities for 11 and a half years and is recently retired. Congratulations, Joetta. And we're glad to have you with us. If you can come up and I'll say a blessing over you. I have had the privilege to know and have many conversations with Joetta, so I'm looking forward to hearing your message tonight. God, thank you so much for this evening, for bringing Joetta here, for all of us who are gathered here. We are aware of your presence in this space, and we ask specifically for your blessing on Joetta as she shares with us the words she's prepared, and that you might open our hearts and our minds to receive this message. Amen.
This actually, whoops, now we got to make it a little bit higher. Okay, I think that will work. This makes me feel really good because our church, after 50 years, still doesn't have a decent sound system. And I always say, how many Mennonites does it take to buy a sound system? I have no idea. So we're all doing good here. It's really good to be here with you. Some of your faces are familiar, and many of them are not. And I say praise God, because that means that there's growth and there's new people here, and that's always wonderful. Well, I'm aware that you all received some unexpected news this week. Sometimes surprise news makes us jump for joy. Other times it's sobering, numbing, bewildering, and painful. And we wonder, what's next? Where do we go from here? It's a little presumptuous for me, an outsider, to come to you and to make assumptions about what you might be feeling, what your fears and what your questions might be. But as someone who once received unexpected and devastating news, and as one who just spent the final 3 months of my pastoral ministry offering pastoral care in the midst of an unexpected health crisis of a retired couple in my church, I hope that I can bring you a message of both comfort and encouragement this evening. And the story that I'm about to relay to you, I'm sharing with the permission of this couple, although I've changed their names. So on February 18, the Sunday of President's Day weekend, a member of Faith Mennonite Church, Mary, was admitted to the hospital with stomach pain, and it turned out to be an intestinal blockage. After several days, when it became clear that the problem would not remediate itself, she underwent surgery. We prayed for a good outcome, and we expected a normal recovery, but things began to spiral downward. Mary suffered a stroke during recovery, and then she developed complications affecting her heart and her lungs. The ICU became her home for nearly 6 weeks until she was finally able to be moved to a rehab hospital to begin the long process of gaining strength and relearning to swallow and use limbs that had become paralyzed. And then, just as her transfer occurred, her husband, George, experienced a heart attack, followed by open-heart bypass surgery. For several weeks, we had three different sign-ups for their care. We had daily visitors to Mary, and then 24-hour care for a week when George returned home but didn't have a spouse to take care of him, and meals for George. How did they, and how did we get through this unexpected time of crisis? Well, Mary and George were blessed both with our Faith Mennonite Church community and also a separate group of Christian friends who had been together for many years. Together, we did our best to be family to them during this time. And through my visits to Mary, particularly, I got a close-up view of what professional rehab or transitional care looks like. She received a combination of speech, physical, and occupational therapy. Progress seemed slow at first, and she often felt discouraged. And I heard her use some language I had never heard before. But the combination of professional therapies and a supportive community brought healing. On May 18, 3 months to the day after Mary entered the hospital, she returned home. And by this time, George had regained strength and returned to a normal routine, allowing him to welcome her home into his care. And 2 days later, on my final Sunday at Faith Mennonite, she returned to church. The moment that you are in right now does not need physical or occupational therapy. But this is a time that calls for spiritual and emotional transitional care. A faith community doesn't move through an unexpected transition as yours without a sense of grief for the separation you will feel as Josias departs. Josias has been part of this community, I believe, for over 5 years. He grew into leadership among you. He encouraged you in your faith and ministry here in this neighborhood. And now suddenly you are faced with a new reality, a reality that will bring adjustments, like you just heard from the leadership team, learning to do things in new ways, seeking for meaning and what God might teach you in this time. I think it's always reassuring to know that our situation is never a first situation. There have been a number of difficult transitions in the history of God's people that called for transitional care. The reading from Deuteronomy recalls an important transition for Israel when they were about to cross into the Promised Land after 40 years of wilderness wandering. At the same time, they were bidding farewell to their leader, Moses, who God did not allow to cross over with them. We might be tempted to think that Moses got the raw end of that deal, having led a wayward band toward a goal for some 40 years and then not getting to fully experience the prize. But perhaps it wasn't so bad for Moses. God gave him a view of the Promised Land and then released him into retirement. His had been a ministry of guidance and formation, and now it would be up to others to lead the people in the homesteading in the Promised Land. Moses' final words are in the language of blessings and curses, of the choice between life and death, more black and white than what we might feel comfortable with. But the basic message here is that at each new juncture of our life, whether it's a major transition or just the ordinary beginning of a new day, we have an opportunity. God invites us to choose life. We cannot control everything that happens to us or to those around us, but we can determine our response. We can look for and choose those things that nurture our personal and our collective health and well-being. In contrast to Moses' long ministry, Jesus' formal ministry on earth was short, very short, just 3 years. And Jesus' message at his parting, as recorded in the Gospel of John, has a more tender and a more reassuring tone than the words of Moses. I wonder if it was because he only had 3 years and not 40 years to maybe doubt and grow a little bit cynical. But the writer of John takes three whole chapters, chapters 14 to 60, to record Jesus' parting words, what we call the farewell narrative. And these words are prefaced by the very intimate act of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Jesus modeled an activity that would both keep his memory alive and also strengthen the community that he was about to leave. Jesus' emphasis in these passages that we've read is not so much about individual responsibility and choice, as in the words of Moses, but about God's providential care. God prepares the way for us. God is preparing our home of many rooms. Jesus is a vine that stays intertwined with us even when we go through times of drought or through the unexpected hailstorm that shreds our leaves. This way ahead for you all isn't going to be easy. Transitional care takes time. Renewed health sometimes can only come from invasive surgeries. And sometimes those surgeries are followed by complex complications. Jesus called these experiences pruning. And just like physical therapy, which often takes us to and through excruciating pain in order to rebuild muscle strength, this pruning ironically and miraculously strengthens our attachment to Christ, the vine. Jesus had lived intimately with his disciples and would part from them in an excruciatingly painful way. They watched his betrayal and his execution. Nothing he said to prepare them for this outcome sank in. It was beyond expectation and comprehension. But his resurrection and presence with them through the Holy Spirit allowed them to continue in communion with him, to abide in him, to recall his teachings and his ways, and to carry on the life he had called them to, even when he was no longer physically present. Christ's abiding presence will sustain you through this time. Josias put down deep roots in this church, and they are entwined with yours. You are naturally going to feel uprooted, torn apart as he departs. But just as we separate perennials, tearing them at the roots in order to extend their life and spread their beauty to other parts of the garden and beyond, this transitional care time, this painful time, can be a time to recall the things that you have received and learned from Josias. And I trust that in time you will look back and you will see this as a time of growth. And sometimes you will look around and you will look around and notice a flower in your church garden and smile and remember that Josias planted it. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in chapter 6, verse 16, "Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies and walk in it and find rest for your souls." In times of transition, when we are at the crossroads, we will find grounding in the past, in the ancient ways. While your church is still a relatively young community, you have a grounding in a faith tradition that spans centuries, millennia. That past can help you gain a vision for the future. Some years ago, when my husband Gerald and I were vacationing in Maine, we experienced the power of this grounding and its guiding power. One morning, as we set out to climb Cadillac Mountain in Acadia National Park, we were heading on a 4-mile hike, and it was going to lead us to the highest point along the U.S. Atlantic coast. Like any hiking trail, there were twists and there were turns. Sometimes the path wound through wooded areas that were shaded, and other times we walked on sheer rock, spread out like a bald head in front of us. At the first ambiguous point, when we wouldn't have known which way to turn, we noticed a cairn, a small pile of rocks, indicating the way. And these cairns were present intermittently, leading us to the summit. And later we learned that some had been in place for 100 years. These ancient ways became a source of encouragement and security as we walked. Well, about midway up the mountain, when I was kind of tired, I paused for a moment. And instead of looking for the next cairn, I turned around to see where we had come from. And there before me was this breathtaking view of the ocean. I had no idea we had climbed as high as we already had, or that the view would be so magnificent. Climbing with a destination in mind is good, but the pauses to span the landscape, to look behind us, enrich the journey and provide different perspectives. Well, once we began to take in the rear view, Gerald wondered at one point whether we really needed to continue to the top. It was getting hot, and we had not carried much water. The sights we were taking in were fairly satisfying. But I hoped that the view at the summit would be worth the additional steps, and indeed it was. And once we were at the top, we could behold beauty in all directions, because it really was kind of a bald head. I don't know if any of you have hiked Cadillac Mountain, but it's a really different mountain because you often feel like you're just on this flat rock, but it keeps taking you up. And once we were there, we met a park guide who suggested we take a different, shorter route down and catch a bus that would take us back to our campsite. Well, perhaps this hiking metaphor can be part of your transitional care protocol. As you climb the uncertain path of a leadership transition that lies before you, remember to pause and to look around. There will be cairns if you stop and look. There will be rangers who will share new ideas with you when you pause and ask questions, and that has already started happening. Your direction as a church will likely not change drastically. You've been growing in healthy ways as you minister in this community. But times of transition invite us to look anew at all that surrounds us, to take in the breathtaking beauty and to gain new perspective. With Moses, choose life. With Christ, abide in the vine. And as pilgrims and hikers, be reassured by the cairns, the ways of the past, even as you pause to take in a panorama of what God yet desires to do in your midst. Amen. And I'd like to offer up a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you walk with us. You have been with your people throughout history, even when that people wandered astray, even when that people felt destitute and wondered how you could possibly be present with them. We give you thanks that you are our shepherd, you are the vine, and you will lead us through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.